Ladies and gentlemen, the World Wide Web proudly presents... Recorded live in Chicagoland, USA.
Bloody podcasters.
A new episode of the podcast, Luke and Carrie's Bad Rapport. With your hosts, Luke Ski and Carrie Dalby.
Everything's awesome.
Everything's awesome. Just take a look around you.
You just can't go wrong.
You just can't go wrong. The possibilities may astound you.
Hi, everybody. This is Carrie.
And this is Luke.
And you're listening to...
Luke and Carrie's...
Bad Rapport.
Yippee!
Episode number 33.
33!
Which is the age I'm going to turn next month. And it is January 25th, 2011. Actually, 2011 is the way I prefer to say it.
Are we going to get into a semantics argument over the correct way to say 2011?
I think we should. I think it's totally appropriate and that no other podcast has ever done it before, so...
There, that's my argument. I kind of don't care, I guess, you know. I just think whatever is more aesthetically pleasing due to the situation.
I think it's more annoying that we don't have names for the decades of either, like, the last decade is the 2000s, I guess, and this decade will really not have a name, so.
Well, I've actually heard people refer to them as the aughts and as the oddies.
Yeah, but I mean...
But, you know, overall,
in general,
I'm
mainstream
say,
media, that's not going to work.
Yeah, overall, I'm going to say the 2000s to when I refer to the years 2000 to 2009, and then it'll be probably the next decade will either be called the 10s or the teens.
The teens, yeah.
So, anyway, so what's new in your life, Carrie Dalby?
Oh, dear God. Well, I guess the first thing that happened a couple days after we recorded our last podcast, my husband went down to the Lombard Yorktown Mall to pick something up, and while he was there, he noticed that the Ed DeBevick's restaurant is closed down, which really sucks. That is where we filmed Grease Wars video, and I think we wanted to do more filming. I've been there numerous times. Ed DeBevick's Lombard made a really good chicken, Southwest chicken salad that it was like possibly my favorite restaurant salad that I could order and have delivered to me on a plate. You know, other than a salad bar, it's my like favorite restaurant salad. The one downtown is shit. The one last time I was there, I got the same thing at the downtown Ed DeBevick's and it was like inedible. It was disgusting. And, you know, I have a lot of good memories of going there after, you know, during WindyCon, and I'm never even got to go there as a resident of Lombard, so I'm pretty bummed out. Any thoughts on Lombard Ed's closing?
Yeah, it's a bummer that it's gone. It's kind of it's surprising and yet also not surprising because I actually went out to that Ed's to draw caricatures again a couple times during the Christmas shopping holiday season on Sundays. When I expected it to be busy because it's in the mall and Christmas
during
shopping.
Christmas, yeah.
Yeah, on a Sunday, and it was just super dead. It was so totally dead there. Like, you know, one of the days I barely made anything, the other days I made nothing. And it was like, after giving it like two shots, I'm like, all right, I guess this isn't working. So, I mean, for the fact that, you know, during the Christmas holiday season at a pretty, you know, decent mall, you know, for it to not get enough foot traffic. I mean, I know the football season has something to do with it, but still, it just seems like, you know, it just...
To me, that was the only one that had decent food. I mean, you know, Ed DeBevick's downtown still exists, and if I go there, I'd still try to order the goddamn Southwest chicken salad and hope that it was edible, but...
Well, your last visit to the downtown Ed's sucked big time for other reasons that had nothing to do with the restaurant. So.
I know, but I'm not just saying the salad was inedible because of the day I was having. It was actually inedible.
But as far as the Grease Wars video goes, somebody actually asked me about that at the Midwinter convention, about if I was ever going to actually finish the video, and I still would like to. I never thought of it as something that I necessarily had to film at that Ed's location. I thought maybe I could film some stuff at the downtown Ed's or someplace completely different. The main things, there were some holes in the video where I didn't get like high quality video footage to fill it in. For one, the That's No Moon part of the song. It was just like footage from like my Hi8 camera, I think it was, and like, you know, no disrespect, Ken, but Ken was behind the camera, and when it got to That's No Moon, I was like trying to get him to pan over to the disco ball, so like I'm like, you know, lip-syncing into the mic behind the little mic thing, and I'm like, That's No Moon, and I'm like pointing with my finger, point, and I'm thinking, Ken, move the camera where I'm pointing, and finally he pans over to it, and it's like, yes!
And then at some point you see his hand, like, coming into the shot, like, trying to line it up better and stuff.
And I don't mean to shit on Ken, because it's not like we knew that footage was going to end up, you know, being, you know, the placeholder that ended up being in the, quote, work-in-progress version. But, you know, there's stuff like that I wanted to film. The main thing missing is stormtroopers. There isn't a single stormtrooper in the Grease Wars video. So aww. I need to get some stormtroopers, and I through various connections, I could probably get a hold of a whole bunch, and we could do... Imagine, like, stormtroopers doing the hand jive part, you know, like that.
That would be awesome.
It's a bummer that is gone. But just think of it now. Now we can, instead of going to Ed's, we can go to, like, Buca di Beppo when we come to town for cons.
I miss Ed's. They had the best salads. Anyways, and Josh had sent me a photo of the closed-down Ed's doors. He sent it to my phone. And due to my phone acting weird, I cannot delete the photo. I delete it, and then I reboot the phone once a day so that I can actually receive phone calls. And then the photo reappears, and it reappears, and it reappears. So the ghost of Ed DeBevick's Lombard is on my phone. And it's just also interesting to note that Ed DeBevick's used to be a national chain. They had locations in Arizona and Wisconsin.
They had one in Milwaukee. They actually had at least one out in the Los Angeles area. I think it might have been in Beverly Hills.
And then there was one. So the one that Luke works at downtown is the only one left.
I can only hope and assume that they saved all of the stuff from inside the restaurant and have it stored somewhere in case, you know, it could come to pass that there could be another one. I mean,
that would be nice. So,
there's always Woodfield Mall.
Yeah. So then I went to stay in Frederick, Maryland with friends of mine and Josh's, Matt and Emily, and their awesome son Tristan, and Matt's mom and dad. And that was good. It was relaxing. You know, of course, we went to Washington, D.C. and saw some of the sights. Finally got to meet my friend Evan Talbot. I'm not sure if I'm saying his last name right. And I also met up and had a meal with Jenny Hoffer. And not sure if I'm saying her last name right either.
I think you are.
And, you know, I'm not going to really go on and on about the touristy stuff that I did there. But I will try to give you the lowdown on Nando's.
Yes.
The sucky thing is that I actually purchased some Nando's Piri Piri sauce that was supposed to be shipped to me, and I thought I would have some by now to give to you, but it didn't show up yet. So Emily was going to ship it because she works for FedEx, so I need to find out if she actually shipped that or not. And I also got some napkins from Nando's, and that's at home as well. So you get nothing, absolutely nothing. So I took some pictures. Maybe we should pause and I could show you the pictures. That makes sense to my brain.
Okay, pause.
Professor Winston, stop eating Nando's. This is your fourth visit today. You're eating far too much Piri Piri. You cannot carry on this way.
Piri. fried chicken.
Heck, Professor Winston, that spicy chicken, it's full of robot calories. I've come to warn you, Professor Winston, you're going to catch Nando's disease.
Peri peri sauce, it's his favorite.
Stop worrying, Sherlock. You're better than me off Menando's.
Professor Winston, systems are failing. You're starting to look rather queer. Come here and lie down. Rest your metal head. For things are far worse than I feared.
Professor Winston's ill. I blame it on the sauce. That damn peri peri sauce.
So the question is, did you actually get to taste some of the peri peri sauce?
Yes.
And what did you think of it?
I didn't like it at first. Josh liked it more than I did, especially our first visit. Basically, the peri peri sauce is made out of the African bird's eye chili, and there's this whole big thing on the wall where they're like, if you can't taste the fire, then, like, it was like this whole big dramatic thing about the fire of the chili and shit, and I,
you can walk through the fire!
And, as you guys may realize by now, you know, we're interested in this because of the Flat 29's time-traveling musical adventures of Sherlock Holmes, the musical, in which Professor Winston is obsessed with Nando's chicken, and he thinks he has Nando's disease, but he turns out to only have the Nando's sweats. And,
Well, the other thing is, I like chicken, I like spiciness. And this is like a fast food chain that specializes in a spicy chicken.
Yeah.
And it's like, oh man, I totally got to get in on this thing.
Yeah.
But it's only in D.C. and I have no reason to go to D.C.
Well,
at best, I could maybe figure out a reason to get to Baltimore so I could go to like Farpoint or
Baltimore.
Shoreleaf.
Is pretty close to D.C.
So yeah.
Basically, I mean, once I actually acquire the sauce that I purchased and give you the bottle that I saved for you, which was the medium spicy garlic bottle. Although I preferred the other medium spicy wild herb bottle, but you're a garlic man, so I got you the garlic bottle. But yes. I actually could give you both because Sarah actually cooks.
Last night Sarah made this like awesome mashed cauliflower and garlic stuff. It was like awesome.
It's just like, basically, if she makes some chicken, you can put the peri peri sauce on there, or she can make it with the peri peri sauce, and then, you know, you can experience it that way, and I think it would be just as good. Basically, I don't think I really caught on to the fire of the African chili. It was just a weird taste. Yes, it's spicy, but there's something weird about it. It's like you have to get used to it. At first when I started using the wild herb sauce, I wasn't really into it, but I also have to mention the macho peas, which are, depending on which photo you use, there's either three of them in it or none of them, but, both locations we had the, new menu item, the Nando's macho peas, which, at the first location, they weren't salty enough, and at the second location, they were too salty. But, like, if you went somewhere in the middle, it would be just, like, the perfect, most awesomest, like, side ever. It was awesome. It had, this dill in it. And they had this awesome garlic bread there. The coleslaw was lame, and don't order the coleslaw if you go. But the garlic bread is incredible. The macho peas are incredible. The chicken is good. And, it grew on me more on our second visit. I got the grilled chicken sandwich, and I put the wild herb peri peri sauce on there, and, you know, actually really started to like that sauce.
So if there was a Mexican
version,
it's
not my favorite sauce though.
If there was a Mexican version, would there be a nacho cheese macho peas?
Oh God,
that would be awesome.
It's not really a fast food restaurant, but it's not really a sit-down restaurant. It's in between. You go in and they seat you when you walk in. They give your table a number, and then once you decide what you want to eat, you have to get up and go get in line and order and
That's like Noodles and Company in reverse or something like that.
Yeah, it's like Noodles and Company, kind of. So then you tell them your table number, and so you end up having to get up and go sit back down. They had a wide variety of drink choices. They have all these sauces are like a whole bunch of them that you can grab a whole bottle and bring it back to your table, because they just had a whole bunch of them. And on the second day that I was there, Jannie actually had the chicken liver, which she said was good. And I would never, you know, eat chicken liver, but I guess it's a New York City thing because she used to live there for a long time. And they had an incredible peanut butter cupcake. And it was kind of a weird story how we ended up going the second time, considering that I wasn't like, oh my God, oh my God, oh my God, I have to go after the first time. Mm-hmm. But we had plans on Martin Luther King Day to meet up with Jannie at another restaurant, at a health food restaurant called Function, F-U-N-X-I-O-N. Mm-hmm. And when Jannie got there, she informed us that they were closed for the holiday. So I called over to the Nando's, and they were open. So we met up at the Nando's instead, because I was kind of in a hurry that day, and I didn't want to, like, mess around with, like, just random wandering or whatever. So I'm like, well, you know, Nando's is edible. Let's go to Nando's. And it was really good on the second visit. I do wish that they had one around here, and I would go to it if they had one. So that's the story of Nando's. And, you can interact with me. It's okay. You can say things. You can ask questions. Not that I don't like the sound of my own voice, but, you know, in a podcast setting, it's probably, you know, you can interrupt me. It's okay.
Okay. Was there anything else that has happened to you in the past
yes.
2 weeks? Well, then go for it.
On Saturday, Josh and I went, this was my Christmas gift from Josh. We went downtown Chicago to the Cadillac Palace to see the second to the last day production of Wicked, which, as most of you probably know, but maybe some of you don't, is loosely based on The Wizard of Oz. It's based on a book that's loosely based on The Wizard of Oz, and it all revolves around Elphaba, which is their name for the Wicked Witch of the West, and, of course, Glinda, the Good Witch. And it's like kind of like a prequel, only weird. And we had really good seats because Josh likes to overspend on me at holiday gift time. And it was really awesome and really colorful, really bright and awesome. One of the coolest songs is called Popular, that Glinda the Good Witch sings. And let's see, you do see some levitation on broomsticks, which is really cool, and I can't remember the name of the song that happens during. And then there's the song, Changed. I can't tell, the girls sing to each other, I can't tell if I've been changed for the better, but I've been changed for good. And there was like twice as many women there as there were guys, but Josh really enjoyed it. And we went to eat at Skewers afterwards, and it was a really great date. And I told him, unless we're going to Broadway, don't ever spend that much money on tickets again. And we still have $70 left over to spend on some other show at Broadway in Chicago. So that's my life.
Yay.
In a nutshell, you know, censoring all the, you know, personal bits, so.
Well, why don't we get to what has now become the second song of the show. And it's my newest song from thefump.com. I should point out that since this podcast, I've turned into a mono podcast for the sake of making the file size smaller, that you guys should go check it out at thefump.com to hear it in stereo, because I think that really adds to the piece, because it divides out the characters I'm voicing, and also, you know, well, yeah, it's just better in stereo. But anyway, This is my song based on The Big Bang Theory, Sheldon's Delight, here on Luke and Carrie's Bad Report.
Okay, guys, the competition is about to start. Instrument check. Check. They're registering. Everything's hooked up. Headset mic check. Check.
Check. Check.
Check.
Check.
Check.
Check.
Check. Yep, we're all set. Now remember what's at stake here. The first place winners with the highest total score win free platinum level lifetime memberships to the live online gaming network.
I call dibs on the freestyle verse. I'm going to pawn this thing with my rhymes.
The quality of your rhymes is irrelevant. We'll get the bonus points as long as any sound goes through your headset mic. An incessantly yipping hyper chihuahua would do just as well as you.
Whatever. Just be ready to call me Slumdog Chameleonaire.
Rockers Online! Players, are you ready?
Okay, guys, this is it. Here we go.
Hit it!
I said a hip hop, the hippie to the hip hip hop, you don't stop, a rockin' to the math, science, history, unraveling the mystery. It all started with a big bang.
Bang!
Now what you hear is a science test, an experimental beat. And me, Sheldon, Howard, and Rod will get the high score to defeat. See, I am Leonard Hofstadter, and I'm saying our hello.
Hello!
I'm a Pasadena, California genius geek who can't tolerate lactose. And my black frame specs, I work at Caltech, a doctoral physicist. But like dark matter, when it comes to girls, I can't prove that I exist. Got a neighbor named Penny, a waitress, actress, hottest blonde I've ever seen. And I know one day we'll be the cutest couple since David and Darlene. Well, so far you've heard my voice, but I've brought three friends along. And next up is Howard Wallowitz, so come on, man, sing that song.
Check it out, I'm the bowl-cut V-neck ladies' man. When I was born, women rejoiced. When I play doctor, I'm horrible, but I still make the ladies moist.
Ew.
Girls, if you ever come over to my house to eat, you'll see that I'm no poser. A candlelit dinner until my mom says,
Howard, is that kosher?
So I say, that's it, we gotta leave this place on my Vespa before too long. We'll head down south, me and my hot outfit, you in a slave Leia thong, to a San Diego hotel, motel, Holiday Inn.
Say what?
Comic-Con and on and on and on and on, we'll get it on with epic win. I've got a Master of Engineering degree, maybe small as a mouse, but I'm MIT. When I'm not with Raj going place to place, I'm all up in my girlfriend's aerospace. Before I met sweet Bernadette, I fantasized Katie Sackhoff. And I once built NASA a robot arm.
And then he used it to...
Okay, enough, Leonard.
Kutrapali, I like to party straight from New Delhi. I don't bother nobody. I'm worshipped as like the Temple Lotus.
You're doing the wrong song.
Like they're going to notice. I'm the astrophysicist most likely to say dude. And though I am Hindu, I'll have a cow because I don't like Indian food. Yes, this postdoc was born to rock. It's got a flow that just can't miss. So check out my breakdown freestyle rhymes as we go a little something like this.
Hey guys, what's going on?
Oh, hi Penny.
Oh, you're playing that rock guitar video game thingy.
And we're losing valuable freestyle bonus points because of you.
What?
It's Raj's freestyle verse.
No, I can't rock the mic for you.
Penny, we need you to leave now. Penny, Penny, Penny.
Okay, Penny, I'll just Penny, grab my share Penny. Of the Chinese takeout and go.
Thanks, sorry. Okay, she's gone, Raj.
And I won't stop rocking till I retire!
It's time for Dr. Sheldon Cooper to take the mic and sing. Theoretically, I could recount for you the history of everything. At the age of 14, I left the U of T, summa cum laude, with a PhD. Then I got another and a master's too. Holland 187, that is my IQ. I don't mean to brag, I don't mean to boast. I'm just stating the fact that I'm smart the most. When I solve string theory, I'll be a smash, and my fame will come faster than the Flash. But for now, I'm roommates here with Leonard and his inferior lot.
Hey!
And I'll be a grouch if I find on our couch that you're sitting in my spot. Whether Halo, Paintball, or CCGs, I'll defeat most any cretin. Like that evil guy.
Game over, Moon Pie.
My nemesis, Will Wheaton. I'm a logic rock like Mr. Spock, but if I'm not feeling my best, I'll Penny Heifer sing soft kitty rubbing Vicks over my chest.
Dry tail, Penny.
Just like Meemaw did when I was a kid, and as soon as I feel well, we'll all go stop at the comic shop, because we're their number one clientele. When I order dinner, my instructions rival laws for corporate mergers. My friends say I need a fast food restaurant that can serve Asperger's. My associate Amy Farrah Fowler has an intellect quite awesome. And my friends here like to speculate on whether love will blossom.
And of course they're right. We'll move down to Texas. I'll become a gospel singer. We'll watch football and have lots of sex.
Really?
Bazinga. You've fallen for one of my classic pranks that give all my friends big smiles. I've got a flat screen TV so I can see my Doctor Who torrent files.
Everybody with a hip hop, the hippie to the hip hop, and you don't stop a rockin' to the math science history, unraveling the mystery.
It all started with a big bang.
Bang! Game complete!
Yeah, we did it!
Now the leaderboard is loading. Let's see how we did.
You got... second place!
What? Who could possibly have beat us?
The name of the band who won is Suck It Sheldon Wesley Crusher Rules.
We done!
Oh, hi.
Hi. So, that was Sheldon's Delight. We took a break so that that Carrie could eat dinner, and we watched an episode of the Big Bang Theory, which she had not seen yet. So,
yes.
What'd you think?
It was pretty cool. I enjoyed it. If I was the kind of person who had time to watch shows, then I would probably watch it. So
yeah,
Will Wheaton was on there, and I thought some of the guys were kind of hot too. What's his face that was on Roseanne with the glasses?
Johnny Galecki, yeah.
Yeah, he's pretty hot. I'd probably watch it just to watch him because he's all, like, extra hot and stuff. So...
yeah, I think you'd enjoy it. So anyway, to do what's Luke been up to lately. Well, I went and performed at Midwinter Gaming Convention, and I've already told Carrie about most of this, so I'll try to be quick when I recount it here. Basically, I had two shows, one on Friday, one on Saturday, both at 6 p.m., just due to the way most conventions work, I thought that I'd have a bigger audience on Saturday, so I kind of,
right,
you know, took my Luke Ski top 50 list and, like, picked, like, 2 hours of the top most liked material, and I put the majority of the more A-list stuff in the Saturday night show, because I assumed the audience would be bigger, and then the Friday night show was, you know, kind of the A-minus B-plus list,
yeah,
let's just say, of material. And the show, I think I had about 30 people in the audience. My mom and my sister came up to see the show because it was my birthday that day. And I feel bad because I was so busy freaking out about getting all that MarsCon preparation stuff done that I never got around to actually rehearsing any of these songs. But I kind of felt like, oh, well, I've done these sometime recently. I've gotten through them. It'll be okay. But I ended up screwing up the lyrics pretty bad to getting giggity with it.
Yeah.
And also, Holding Out for Hero, I basically gave up after I got to halfway through the first chorus, and I just blanked on the rest of the lyrics, and I'm like, you know, I epically failed in that sense.
Yeah.
The other thing that was weird about Friday night is because I had to have somebody from the con run my music from my Zen player in the back of the room, and he had never seen one before, which is another disadvantage of me using that Zen player, is that most, you know, iPhone or iPod, you know, devices enough people have seen and used that they know how to use it,
yeah,
or can figure it out pretty quick. And the functionality of the Zen player is weird because you have to, like, literally tap things with your thumb in a certain way to get them to click on or to work. And it's just like he wasn't figuring it out, and he kept, like, accidentally hitting, like, some button that would take him to you know, a George Carlin album. So it's like, you know, we'd be sitting there, be waiting for him to, you know, long, awkward pauses with no music, and then all of a sudden George Carlin's voice would come out of the speakers, "People I can do without." And then he'd, like, pause it again. And at one point when that happened, when it was "People I can do without," I just started going, "Guys in their 50s named Skip. A proctologist with poor depth perception." And, like, people in the audience are, like, doing it along with me. I'm like, how about that? That'll be my show. I'll just do George Carlin material for the hour. So yeah, I mean, the show went all right. My mom and sister and I went out to eat a fish fry, and Sarah joined us.
Oh, yeah.
And then I sold some merch after the show and made a little bit of money. The following day on Saturday, Sarah's trying to talk to me. Hold on a moment. She's still at work? Oh, wow. She's just leaving work now.
That sucks.
So, anyway. Yeah, she went to the She went to the hospital because she was having like a major massive headache, and she got some medication that the headache would go away.
Wow.
Anyway, that was another thing. Saturday morning, we went to have like the little free breakfast in the little restaurant there, and about halfway through breakfast, all of a sudden out of nowhere, I start hearing faintly the song "Ode to My Car" by Adam Sandler.
Okay.
And I'm like, where the hell is that music coming from? Because I couldn't tell if it was coming from the speakers in the ceiling or if just somebody was playing it off of their laptop. And then, like, shortly after that, some song by Bloodhound Gang started playing. And I'm like, okay, so apparently it's the mid-90s inappropriate humor lyrics, you know, playlist here at the Best Western.
We've never played a song by the Bloodhound Gang, have we?
Probably not.
Okay, we're not playing one today either, okay. So screw you guys.
So, yeah, so that was kind of weird. But yeah, so Saturday, spent all day in the dealer room, didn't sell anything. And then Saturday night, my show came along, and my show had about 15 people in the audience, which is about half as much as the day before. We found out later that the big LARP that this whole event was based around, like the big grand finale of it, was Saturday night, so everyone had wanted to be there for the big finale of the LARP. So,
if you don't know, LARP is live-action role-play.
Yes, live-action role-playing, as seen in the movie Role Models. So basically, it just kind of sucked that, you know, I saved all this, like, super A-game material, and I had half the audience for it. Yeah. So, and I sold a little bit more merchandise after that show. And in fact, after that show, because I closed with Grease Wars, there were these three little girls and their mom, and they were really little, like, the youngest, it was, like, probably, like, 5, 7, and 10-ish, I'm guessing, were their ages. But, like, I'm doing Grease Wars, and they're all dressed in pink, and it was just, like, yay! I mean, they weren't, like, being so vocal that they were disrupting the show or distracting people, but I'm there on the stage, and when the audience is that small, I'm looking over at their seats, and this place actually had regular, like, theater seating in the room. It was a nice room to perform in. But I look over, and it was like... whenever on the Muppet Show they do like the quick shot so you see what the audience looks like that's watching the Muppet Show, it was like there's three little pink Muppets like bopping up and down because they were just totally loving what I was doing, because apparently the girls had done some music from Grease in some thing that they had been involved in school or something like that.
Yeah.
Or the mother had introduced them to the songs. So the fact that I was there doing Grease songs, but the lyrics were about Star Wars, just made them freak out. So, like, they were, like, so, like, happy and energetic and stuff. It was adorable as hell. So
That's awesome.
That was a fun little moment. That was a favorite con moment,
you
could say.
I would have been performing with you on that. Cause I've never seen Grease Wars with just you. Not that I know of. I've seen it performed once. I have some vague memory of being in the audience instead of on stage for some dumb reason. Could be wrong.
I don't know.
But anyway.
So yeah, and then Sunday at the dealer room, I think I did one sale that day, and that was to the con chair. Yeah. So, I made just under $200. It was enough, you know. I mean, with them also giving me a hotel room and stuff, and they were very nice to me. And you know, I'm very happy that there's a new convention in Milwaukee. There's some things that they were missing. They didn't have a con suite, and they didn't have a few other things that I would consider to be, basic con stuff to have. So. Yeah. I should probably shoot them a message and give them some feedback. But next year they're moving to the downtown Hyatt in Milwaukee, which hopefully will get them some more foot traffic and more notice and blah, blah, blah. Because I'd really love for there to be one really good Milwaukee con that I could do every year.
Yeah.
So maybe next year I'll go out for the Friday night of that weekend to do like a 90-minute show, sell some merch afterwards, and then head home or something like that.
Yeah.
So I could still work the rest of that weekend.
So what else is going on?
Well, posted a new track at the Fump, as you all have just heard, and many people liked it. Other people were, you know, upset at the subject of the song because they don't like the Big Bang Theory.
Well, I have good memories of the original song.
Yeah.
The funny thing is that in the 80s, my mom had a copy of this song on 45 or whatever, and she would play it over and over again, and she memorized the song to the best of her ability, and she would constantly sing it. So I don't think many people my age can say that their moms were constantly singing a rap song to them when they were a child.
So, yeah, it's like, another weird thing about that song is just the fact that the original version of the song was 15 minutes long and was recorded in one take by these guys who had just been, like, they were just, like, improvising this thing at clubs and parties and stuff like that. So they brought them into the studio, and they just basically, you know, let them go at it and just do the thing they had been doing and just riffing and, you know, making stuff up. And
yeah.
So the hard part about doing this is, you know, there's shortened edits of the 15-minute version for, like, regular radio airplay, but there's certain kind of tropes to the song, Rapper's Delight, and I wanted to try to make sure I worked in all the tropes. So basically my parody is, like, the first verse of it, for the most part, follows the structure of the beginning of the song, because that's the part of the song that people are the most familiar with.
Yeah.
You know, now what you hear is not a test, I'm rapping to the beat, and me, blah, you know, that whole part. So for Leonard's verse, I stuck with that for the most part. But the rest of the song was basically me just, you know, writing whatever I felt was best and trying to keep with the cadences and the, you know, sometimes they'd rhyme every line, sometimes they'd rhyme, you know, every, you know, second and fourth line instead.
Yeah.
At one point in the original version of the song, he rhymes the word clientele with clientele. So I'm like, okay, I have to work in the word clientele into this song just because, you know, it amused me to do so.
Yeah.
So I tried to, you know, just work it in wherever I could, you know, all these little tropes and things like hotel, motel, Holiday Inn.
I think it's a good parody. I thought it was weird, though, when I was listening to the Funny Music podcast today, that you were just kind of sitting there putting yourself down, like, you're like, oh, here's some crappy song by this crappy guy who does crappy things. Well, I don't remember how you worded it.
I kind of got the wind knocked out of me. I was so psyched to promote this song, and then to find out that so many people, you know, dislike the show. Down on it. It's like, oh, I just put a crap load of effort into something that nobody's going to care about. So, you know, that day I was particularly bummed about it. I mean, it's got about 11 comments at the Fump right now, and
exactly 11, and I wrote the 11th one.
Yes, so, and the people who have left comments have said they like it, so that makes me happy. I will admit, and I actually had a discussion with Insane Ian about this, my impression of Raj is pretty dead on. My impression of Sheldon is okay. My impression of Leonard isn't so much an impression as it is me doing kind of a nasally voice.
Yeah.
And my impression of Howard really kind of isn't there because he also has a nasally voice, but it's much lower. So I was trying to do a lower nasally voice, and it mostly came out just sounding like me. But I did try to, with him more than the other guys, make him sound a little bit more like the way the vocalists from the original Rapper's Delight sang.
Yeah.
So that at least it fit in with the song if it didn't exactly sound like, you know, the actor Simon Helberg. You know? So, and then, you know, I think Sarah did a wonderful job as Penny. And I did my best, because, like I said, in the stereo, when you listen to it at the Fump, to have it so, like, you're watching the sitcom, and the four guys are lined up, and then Penny walks in from the far left, because that's where the door is, and then she walks into the center of the room, gets her food, and then leaves, and walks back out to the left, so.
It's interesting for me to watch a modern sitcom sit down, and, like, I feel like I haven't seen a sitcom that was made in this, you know, century, so.
So anyway, to those who like The Big Bang Theory, I really hope you enjoyed my song. And to those who don't like The Big Bang Theory, I'm sorry. Hopefully you will like the next song I do and other songs that will be in my forthcoming album. And we'll talk more about that later in comments. So, yeah. Okay, I wanted to tell you about my trip to Alien Entertainment, the place that you gave me the gift certificate for.
You didn't say you went?
Yes, I went.
Oh.
I had an interesting experience there. And it's in Lombard. It's on Roosevelt Road.
In Glen Ellen, according to the gift certificate.
Well, I think their P.O. box is in Glen Ellen. The store is physically located in Lombard.
Lombard, okay.
Okay, it's on Roosevelt Road. Alien Entertainment. And it's got tons of great collectibles. It's quite amazing. So I can't recommend it more when it comes to that whole thing. Especially if you're into Doctor Who, they specialize in having a crap load of Doctor Who stuff. So I spent a really long time there. This was last Thursday, I think. Just, like, going through and, you know, like, looking at each of the shelves. And I collected for many years tons and tons of action figures. I have kind of stopped collecting action figures because I really don't have them on display anymore, and I just kind of feel like, you know, if I'm not going
to... You're not allowed.
It's not that I'm... If let me put it this way. If I felt strong enough about it, I'd talk to Sarah and I'd figure out a way to display some of my collection. And in fact, I would like to bring some of it out, and particularly the Muppet stuff.
Yeah.
But for
that
the
Swedish Chef kitchen is the awesome sauce.
Yeah. But for the time being, I'm happy with the house the way it is, so I'm not making it an issue. So I guess my overall feeling is that other than like the Scud action figure I bought in the past year, there's nothing else that's come out that's been like, oh, I absolutely must own this. You know.
Yeah.
I mean, there's stuff that's really cool and I'm glad it exists and like the
Well, what did you buy?
So I scoured the place for about an hour, and I finally noticed there was a section that had some DVDs, and I found a whole bunch of DVDs that I didn't own yet, or that I had owned, but now Stephanie has. So I picked up the Firefly TV series box set, both seasons of Justice League Unlimited, which is... because I have the regular Justice League seasons 1 and 2, and then Justice League Unlimited is basically seasons 3 and 4,
uh-huh.
Even though they're labeled as 1 and 2, but you know what I mean. Anyway, and then I also found a copy of the movie X-Men 3, because I didn't have that one. I had the first two, but not the third one, and that ended up being just over the $50, which was the gift certificate.
Yeah.
Actually, I wasn't going to get the X-Men 3 at first, but then I saw that with tax it was like $54, and you had to get at least $10 to use a card, and I didn't have any cash. So I ended up going out and buying the X-Men 3 just so I could have more than $10 of actual payment to make the transaction go through. So after I bought the stuff, there was a couple guys working there and this woman, and the woman seemed to be like baby boomer age, possibly even older, because her hair was all white, but you know.
Uh-huh.
So I start talking to her and I'm like, so, you know, I was, you know, cause basically in my mind, I'm thinking just like back in Madison, maybe I can interest them into having my CDs for sale here because it would certainly fit in with all the stuff they have there.
Yeah.
So I start explaining to them who I am, what I do, and I do songs, I perform at, you know, I'm like, do you guys set up your booth at science fiction conventions in the area? She's like, oh yes, we do Wizard World and we do C2E2. And I'm like, oh well, I perform at WindyCon and CapraCon and DuckCon. And she's like, oh no, we don't do those. You know, it just
too small, too yeah, small time.
It's like, oh, so I'm like, all right, well. I perform at conventions all across the Midwest, and you know, blah blah blah. And I started describing my music to them. And she's like, do you have songs about Doctor Who? And I'm like, well, I have a song about Doctor Who, but I also have a song about virtually everything else here in the store.
Yeah.
And they're like, oh, well, we run the Chicago TARDIS convention, which happens every Thanksgiving weekend in Lombard over at the Westin.
Yeah.
And I know our friend Phil goes there, and I dropped his name a couple of times. They're like, oh, yeah, we're familiar with Phil.
Yeah.
Or at least they knew his name from the mailing lists or whatever.
Yeah.
So she starts asking me about some other stuff, and I mentioned the Dr. Demento show, and they knew what that was. And I'm like, well, back in, you know, she said, do you have anything about Lord of the Rings? I'm like, well, back in 2003, I did a parody of an Eminem song about Lord of the Rings, and it was the most requested song of the year. And they're like, oh, that's cool. Well, and she, the woman with the white hair, is like, let me go back to get the manager. You can talk to him directly, and we could, you know, see what's up about, you know, maybe you coming to perform at Chicago TARDIS and the CDs and stuff.
Interesting.
So as she walks away, I'm talking to another guy. And you know, this and that. And I had mentioned, somehow it got brought up, somehow it got to the point where I said, well, you know, I did a song about the Big Bang Theory to the tune of that old song, Rapper's Delight, because, you know, blah, blah, blah. And then, yeah, I guess, you know, because the store isn't that huge, she could hear me. So
yeah.
She says from off in the distance, are all of your songs rap songs? And I'm like, no, I have songs from, like, every genre. And then she starts heading back towards me. Oh, well, that's good, because I really can't stand rap music. I mean, it's really not even music, you know? So I wouldn't want to, you know... And then she, like... I forgot exactly what her words are, but she kind of realized that, you know, maybe she shouldn't, you know...
Be saying what she's saying to who she's saying it to.
Yeah, and she's like, oh, you know, well, I wouldn't want, you know... I wouldn't want to be offensive, you know, say something that was offensive to you. And I just kind of said, well, you know, kind of it is. And so I kept talking, and then, you know, and then she just kind of kept bringing it back up again as like some kind of, you know, thing to keep hashing on, like, oh, you know, because rap, you know, with music, I like the melody. Lyrics isn't important. And rap has no melody, you know, blah, blah, blah. And I just like, it's like there are certain buttons you can push with me, and that's one of them.
Yeah.
It's part of the reason I've had this love hate relationship with the Filk community, because the Filk community is filled with people like that.
Yeah.
So here I am, and I went from, like, I just had a pleasant time in your store checking out all your cool stuff. I'm getting merchandise. I'm spending a little bit extra here to make sure that, you know, because I do want to support the place. I mean, if I really... Anyway. It just... Basically, so the manager guy comes out. I talked to him for a little bit, blah, blah, blah. We exchanged some information, and, you know, he said that if I wanted to do some consignment deal, I could bring some CDs over. I'm like, all right, well, you know, I'll see what's up. I live way out in Des Plaines, so I'm not in this neighborhood too often, but, you know, maybe. So I gave him my contact info, and I left, because I wouldn't mind performing at Chicago TARDIS, but... After that experience and that lady and her attitude and the whole rap music commentary,
yeah.
It was like she just took a huge shit on my day.
Yeah.
And it's like, I know that I take things personally that I should not take personally at all. And I think I've gotten better about it over the years. Like, when I was much younger, if I'd be watching something on TV and somebody would say something like about Weird Al, like, Weird Al, oh yeah, he sucks, you know, I'd get really angry and worked up about it. Like, how dare! And, like, I would get all pissed. It's like,
yeah.
Why should I get upset because some guy on TV...
I used to get kind of like that, yeah. Too.
You know, it's like, it's not even like he's saying it to Al's face. He's just saying it in some random comment, and it just would, you know, get me all worked up. And I've learned to get over, you know, stupid crap like that, but just, like, that was just... She was, like, such a button-pushing, whether she realized it or not, and that's probably... Probably not. She probably didn't realize. She just kind of figured, like, well, this is just commonplace, you know? The sky is blue, you know, air is made of oxygen, rap isn't music, and we can just talk about this loudly in front of, you know, blah, 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 blah. And it just... Oh, it just made me so fucking angry.
Totally ignorant.
And sometimes it makes me want to run to Twitter... And, like, type things like Henry Rollins said, it's fun to say intentionally loaded statements just for the purpose of getting people pissed off so they yell things back at you. Even if you don't mean them, it's just fun to say them.
Yeah.
So it's like, it made me want to go to Twitter and immediately type, isn't it going to be great when all the fucking baby boomers are dead so that we're left with a society where everybody likes rap music and considers it a valid art form? Won't that be awesome? Send. You know, that's what I was so angry, I just wanted to say that. But then I would have known that a lot of people... That would offend a lot of people.
Probably some of our listeners right now.
Yeah, and I have many friends who are of baby boomer age, and I don't want them to die. I want all the other ones to die. No, I want... It's just such a frustrating thing to deal with, you know?
Yeah.
It's just like...
Luke, ignorance comes in all kinds of forms. And, you know, she has ignorance about that. You have ignorance about... other things. You know, you gotta try not to judge too harshly.
I really do, but goddamn, that was like such... It's like, oh, look, you know, fucking in this economy, comic book shops and collectible stores are disappearing, you know?
Yeah.
They're going bye-bye, just like video stores. There aren't gonna be too many left. So it's like, look at this wonderful haven of awesome collectibles, and a total, you know, potential racist woman works here. You know, it's like, wow, thanks. Yeah. So
you have two more bullet points on your what's new in Luke's life. I'm the one who went on a trip, and your segment has gone on longer.
Well, this one will be pretty quick. Yesterday? 2 days ago. Yeah, Sunday. Whatever the fuck. I can't even think. What is today?
Tuesday.
Yes. So yeah, 2 days ago. Sunday was the last day of the Jim Henson's Fantastic World exhibit at the Museum of Science and Industry.
Which I probably could have gone to, but nobody reminded me.
No, it's...
I don't think you guys wanted me there.
It was just at this point a matter of... I just wanted to make sure I saw it. So we went out there. It was neat.
there were, you know, at least, you know, 5 or 6 different actual Muppets on display. Some were the originals, some were recreations, but it was really cool to look at them up close inside their glass cases. But the main point of the exhibit was more to be more of an art gallery of showing all of these original screen printings and hand-drawn things that Jim Henson did himself by hand when he was working on stuff like storyboards for commercials and, you know, ideas and character designs and doodles and stuff. So it was just really cool. Like one of his original hand drawings for the design of Big Bird is there, you know?
Wow.
So, and it was cool because I was standing in front of the, display of Menomina and the Snoths, and these two women are like standing there and they're like, you know, kind of trying to figure out, like, I think I know what that is. I'm not, and I'm like, you know, oh, that's the guy that goes Menomina, and those are the two that go do-do-do-do-do, and they're like, oh, and so I just kind of moved on. So yeah, there's not too much else I can do except sit here and go, there was a thing, and it was cool, and there was another thing, and it was cool, too, you know, so, although, so, there's a gift shop, like a mini gift shop they've set up outside in the main part of the museum for Jim Henson's Fantastic World, filled with Elmo shit. Okay. Even looking beyond people's general dislike of Elmo or whatever, because I don't want to completely shit on Elmo or his...
Elmo's great when you're 3.
You know, and the performer who does him, Kevin Clash, is a very talented guy and done great stuff.
Probably the people who are old enough to appreciate the Museum of Science and Industry are too old to still appreciate Elmo.
But the overall point is this. The modern version of Elmo that we know and you know, children love and freak out about didn't exist in Jim Henson's lifetime.
No.
I mean, the physical puppet was created as a background anything monster, you know, that was on Sesame Street. So there was a puppet. It probably didn't even have a name until Kevin Clash picked it up and started messing with it sometime during the 90s, you know, and Jim passed away in 1990. So it's like...
Well, you remind me, what did he pass away of? He was not that
complications
old.
Due to pneumonia.
Right. He was, like, what, in his 50s? Or?
I think so, yeah.
Yeah.
I mean, it's one of those things that... You know how, like, actors talk about, like, when they have to, like, cry for a scene? It's like, I have to think about something really sad. It's like, I still get tore up thinking about the fact that Jim is gone. It is
or
so...
Or thinking about the song A Boy and His Frog.
Yeah, it's...
By Tom Smith.
It's so unfair that Jim Henson died. It's so unfair. It's just...
There's a live recording of Tom Smith singing that song where, like, yeah, I can hear you in the background openly sobbing.
Yeah, that was probably from the Marcon concert, the homecoming concert.
Yeah.
And my mom got to go to see the same exhibit in a museum in Orlando with Pete and Pete's son, Paul. And Paul is friends with Heather Henson and John Henson, two of Jim Henson's kids. And so my mom got to see that same exhibit, but with them going along and telling them all these awesome details and stuff like that.
Wow.
So I was able to send to Paul to give to Heather Henson a CDR that had the song, that same concert performance of A Boy and His Frog and The Rainbow Connection, my song, Who Let the Frogs Out, and a bunch of other, you know, Muppet parody tunes and stuff. And she got the CD, and I heard back from Paul that she totally loved it, and she's listened to it several times, and it just made her really happy. So yeah, and I've talked
Did
about
you tell
Jim...
Tom Smith that?
Oh, yeah, I've told him, so... And I've obviously talked extensively about Jim Henson on this podcast before, and how I really consider him like my biggest idol, my biggest real creative influence in my life, the one who made me believe that I can do anything I want if I put my mind to it.
Yeah.
So,
I was reading. Yeah. I've been reading a bunch of old stuff on my live journal. I was reading like my live journal from 2004, and it's kind of funny, you know. It's kind of cute, you know. And cool. I don't know. It's kind of something. I constantly drone on and on about you and how you're going to be, you know, famous and, you know, like, you're going to be a star and all this stuff.
And now you're just... Now you smack me when I belch.
It's come to this.
So, yeah. And then the other... little bullet point is just to mention that I used birthday money I got from my mom and from my mother-in-law, Barb, to get myself a Droid X, which just showed up in the mail today while I was prepping for this podcast, so I haven't even had a chance to open it and play with it yet. But it'll be neat to finally have a top-of-the-line, or not so much top-of-the-line, but a smartphone that is comparable to...
Topper of the line.
Yeah, it's probably the best of the Droid line out at the moment.
Really?
I'm
probably going to, even though iPhone will actually be an option next month, I'm probably going to get a Droid because I remembered, oh yeah, I want a real keyboard to type on. I don't want to type on a touch screen. No, thank you.
Yeah, so. I decided not to go with the iPhone because... I'm assuming that there will be bugs that need to be worked out of the system. You know, when iPhone hops on Verizon, there's probably going to be problems and issues. And, you know, I'd rather wait a year or two for them to work all that shit out and then buy a later iPhone.
Unless I can get a real keyboard, which, as far as I know, they don't exist now. So.
Anyway, let's move on to the next song, which is a song I just discovered today. There is... a Facebook group called League of Hot Geeks, I think is what it's called, and it's some women who just like post links to this and that and stuff, and every so often they post songs that they find, and this one is by a woman named Amy Lee Radigan called Nerdy Girls Need Love Too. And since we're all about playing comedy songs by
and nerdy
women
songs.
Yes, I figured it would be a good one to play, so here is that song right now.
Something very special about me, I can't seem to hide it, even when I try. It must be a difference in the way I walk and talk, or that dilithium crystal twinkle in my eye. See, I've never had a problem playing Smash Bros, and discussing Han and Garita isn't work. So I'm hoping you can love me for the nerdy girl I am, and accept all of my unconventional quirks. Like a Dalek, you exterminated all of my defenses. If I was a Time Lord, both my hearts would be for you. And while I love your personality and value your intelligence, what I really want right now is a sonic screw. Driver. I own 5 different capsules from Julie Newmar's to Miss Berry's, and my gold bikini fits me like a glove. And while I know full well that I'm no black canary, all I'm asking for is a little nerdy love. Don't need a man with the biceps of Batman, and he doesn't need to have the vocal cadence of Kirk, and he doesn't need to read me elvish sonnets like Aragon. But if he lets me ride his TARDIS, I'm gonna go berserk. Like a Dalek, you exterminated all of my defenses. If I was a Time Lord, both my hearts would be for you. And while I love your personality and value your intelligence, what I really want right now is a sonic screw. Driver. I'd love to find a man just like the doctor. To be the piper to his tenant would be super. And while Bruce Wayne will forever be my dream boy, for now I'd even settle for a guy like Sheldon Cooper. Like a Dalek, you exterminated all of my defenses. If I was a Time Lord, both my hearts would beat for you. And while I love your personality and value your intelligence, what I really want right now is a sonic screw. driver.
And now it's time for...
By Devo Spices at devospice.com, compiled by roving reporter Carrie Whitney, and submitted by fans like you.
Word.
I guess it's stupid to prove it innocent, cause it makes it so to be.
This week is more of a news of the weird than a news of the stupid. Police say a fake valet at a Massachusetts emergency room offered to park a pregnant woman's car, then drove away with it. Lowell Police Captain Kelly Richardson said the woman drove herself to Lowell General Hospital at 3 a.m. Friday while suffering labor pains. She parked outside the emergency room doors and was met by a man wearing a uniform-style shirt who introduced himself as the valet. The man said she couldn't park there but volunteered to take her keys and move the car. Then he drove away. While being admitted, the woman was told the hospital didn't offer a valet service. The car was found Saturday morning. Police are examining it for fingerprints and other evidence to try to find the suspect. Perhaps the man worked for UPS and just needed a delivery vehicle.
A grand piano recently showed up on a sandbar in Miami's Biscayne Bay, about 200 yards from condominiums on the shore. The piano, which weighs at least 650 pounds, was placed at the highest spot along the sandbar so it doesn't get underwater during high tide. While officials aren't sure how it got there, they know it won't be going anywhere unless it becomes a hazard to wildlife or boaters. Florida Fish and Wildlife Conservation Commission spokesman George Pino says the agency is not responsible for moving such items. And, he adds, unless it becomes a navigational hazard, the U.S. Coast Guard won't get involved. For now, the piano has become a fancy roost for seagulls. When we asked the seagulls for comment, they said, "Freebird! Play some Freebird, man!"
Austrian authorities are searching for a bank robber who uses an unusual disguise. He wears a Barack Obama mask during his holdups. Police say the man, nicknamed the Obama Robber by local media, is wanted for six heists since 2008. The most recent took place Thursday in the hamlet of Handenburg, where the Obama-resembling suspect made off with an undisclosed amount of money after threatening bank employees with a gun. Police official Marcus Meatloner said Friday that the man is thought to be a local since he speaks the regional dialect with nary a trace of Obama's more professional accent. Upon hearing all this, Glenn Beck commented, "See, we told you Obama wasn't a natural-born citizen of the United States."
Workers at a Ukrainian aquarium didn't believe it when a visitor said a crocodile swallowed her phone. Then the reptile started ringing. In an attempt to extract the phone, they tried to feed the crocodile laxatives, claiming, "We've got a crap for that." Since then, the croc has been calling Captain Hook repeatedly, asking, "Do you hear me now? Good. Do you hear me now? Good."
And finally, if you think you have a stupid, stubborn boss at your job, remember that it could be worse. Take, for example, the following story, which happened this past Monday morning when a car salesman in suburban Chicago was fired for refusing to remove a Green Bay Packers tie that he wore to work the day after the Packers beat the Chicago Bears to advance to the Super Bowl. John Stone says he wore the Packers tie to work Monday at Webb Chevrolet in Oak Lawn to honor his late grandmother, who was a big fan of the Bears' longtime rival from Green Bay, Wisconsin. The sentimental gesture did not impress his boss, Jerry Roberts. Roberts asked Stone to remove his tie 5 times within the first 90 minutes the dealership was open, during which time no customers complained about his green and gold neckwear. At 10:30 a.m., Roberts said Stone had to take the tie off or he would be fired, which is what happened. When asked for comment, Stone said,
"I ain't here to cause no trouble. I'm just here to do the Super Bowl shuffle."
People are stupid, and once again, they have proven it.
The Packers.
This has been News of the Stupid. So that was the News of the Stupid. We can use some more submissions for the news so that we'll have more stupidness.
Yes, if you would like to submit news to News of the Stupid, you can do so by emailing us the article or a link to the article at badreport@gmail.com.
And in fact, if someone wanted to step up and claim the position of roving reporter, we are looking. Not yes. Actively, but we, if you'd like to play a role in the show on a biweekly basis by being our roving reporter, you can be that as long as you... You know, do it and are okay at it. It shouldn't be that hard.
Because, you know, no disrespect to Carrie Whitney, who kept supplying us with stories through the first, you know, part of the run of the show. He hasn't really submitted anything in a long time.
6 months. Something like that.
So, yeah. So, if anybody, you know, you're all welcome to randomly send in articles. But if anyone feels like taking on the position of key article submitter,
Roving reporter,
then, you know, email us at badreport@gmail.com and let us know. And the rest of you, you can just send articles to us send articles our way anytime to that email address. Okay.
So, I don't know what this bullet point is.
Maybe we should flip things a bit. Did you want to call Ken?
I don't have anything specific to say to him, but we could.
Oh, hi.
Hi, Sarah.
You're home.
Good.
Yeah, he told me.
Sarah is not feeling well.
I'm full of blah.
Aw.
The little creatures that could...
Anyway. Food. Yes, foods. I had a bowl of soup, and she ate carry food.
And I ate a frozen dinner, and... I tried to restrain him from putting 9,999 oyster crackers on his soup. Like, he could put the whole... He could practically put the whole thing on there.
Yeah.
I'm getting picked on.
You need to figure out what is the smallest amount of oyster crackers that you can be satisfied with, and then only have that amount. At every time.
Back in the old system, Steph told me that that 35 oyster crackers equaled 1 point.
Well, it's a different system. They would probably be 3 or 4 points plus.
So, would you be interested in getting in a debate a little bit on the podcast?
We're recording right now, anyway.
Okay. Well, I'll save it for a future episode.
Some sort of gender thing, apparently. A man-woman issue for the ages is all he wrote on the outline.
It's something Sarah and I were arguing about the other day.
Oh, the toilet seat?
Oh, God. I trained Josh on the toilet seat. We had a song for it, or a ditty or something. Hopefully it'll come to me soon. But
no, I feel like ass and I'll just get angry.
This is how I trained him. Basically, once I found out on the Paul and Storm podcast that cats can and do drown in toilets, then we both had to make sure to put the seat and the lid down. And then once it became more gender equal, then all of a sudden he was able to learn how to do it. But we also had a really funny ditty that I can't remember right now.
Well, maybe you'll remember it later.
See, okay. You kill the cats.
Yes.
Yes.
Come on, buddy.
Cat killer.
All right.
You mentioned you didn't feed them yesterday.
I fed them now.
Yeah, huh? After they gnawed your ankles off, right?
You didn't feed the cats?
There was food in their bowl. There was food in their dish.
Bad person.
It exists.
And I
gave them more food today. At no point were they ever out of food.
God, I'm trying to remember that ditty. It would really make you guys laugh, you and the listeners. Anyways, did you want to call Ken?
I didn't have a specific reason to call him other than to tell him or ask him.
Don't put it on the outline then.
You're the one who said we should call Ken.
I did?
Yes.
I don't remember saying that.
You totally did.
When?
Earlier today.
2 weeks ago.
Earlier today.
I did not. Bullshit. I did not say that.
Well, I'll call him.
You can check your text messages. There won't be one about that. Oh, God, what was that ditty? Every once in a while, every now and again. Ring.
Hello.
Let's call Ken. Ding. I know where Ken is right now.
He's at my house.
Hi, Ken.
Hi, Ken.
Hi, Carrie. Hi, Luke.
How are things over at Carrie's house?
Not bad. We're actually exactly right. We're still in the process of setting up.
Cool. So, what's your take on the whole Bears-Packers thing?
Well, first off, the better team won, in spite of everything. And B, the most important is, despite what everybody's been saying in the city, the controversy is that the quarterback was taken out of the game when people thought he wasn't hurt. He really was hurt, but most people don't understand that. And there's a whole bunch of idiots who think they know everything. You think if a person can walk, he can play. And as someone who's had bad knees that prevent me from doing things, I can understand why he couldn't play.
Yes. And how are your knees and your legs right now?
Knees are fine. My foot's still sore from actually the day after I talked to you last on that report, I wet my foot. It's pretty swollen. Had an MRI today. No significant damage. No broken bone. But it's going to take another 3-4 weeks before it's 100%.
Well,
but it's not bad.
Well, get well soon, Ken.
After MarsCon's in 5 weeks.
Yes, MarsCon.
Hey, is there someone else in the room there that you could pass the phone to?
I guess. Hold on. We assume he meant me and not Willow. So Willow really wanted to be on the podcast.
Because she likes doing things.
Willow's in the bathroom. Yeah, Willow's in the bathroom trying to get inside the toilet, but the lid is down.
So, you don't happen to remember that ditty that I came up with to try to train you to put the toilet seat down, do you? Something about
no.
Penis out, something about...
let's see.
It rhymed. It rhymed. This is driving me nuts, because it would
there
be
was
so
something
funny.
About the penis out, you know, pee out. Lid down, penis out, lid up, penis in.
It rhymes.
It sounds like a recipe for serious injury, actually.
No, it rhymed. You don't, that isn't it, it rhymed.
Okay. You cannot fake a cake on the make.
Anyways, that's all. Yeah, I'm done with you.
You're done with me. I am dismissed from the phone call.
I'm gonna be home in like an hour or so, and I've got important business to take care of, so I won't be able to hang out with you guys. So you better game quickly.
You don't want to play Castle Ravenloft with us.
It's not a matter of whether or not I want to. I fucked up the loan thingy, and I get to spend the rest of the night trying to correct it.
Oh, okay. Okay. Well, love you. Have an enjoyable podcast.
Yay. Love you, too.
Bye-bye.
Bye.
Bye-bye.
So that was Let's Call Ken and Josh.
Yes.
All right. So... favorite con moments. One of our lovely intrepid listeners left a comment. And intrepid, damn it.
I believe Elizabeth was the one who did, but we'll find out later when we read the comments. Anyways, I think one of my favorite con moments of all time is probably one of Luke's would be, pardon me, standing in front of either Dragon Con or... The masquerade audience at either Dragon Con or San Diego Comic Con singing Grease Wars to 5,000 people and having them go nuts for it.
Yeah, pretty much. It was kind of a weird building, though, because first we did Gen Con Indy and we got a standing ovation from like 1,000 people.
Yeah.
Then we went to Dragon Con where we got a standing ovation from like 3,000 people. Then we did
And at Dragon Con, a bunch of people were watching on their televisions and rooms, too.
Yeah, which led them all to, like, you know, rocket down the stairs and elevators to our table to try to buy the CD that the song is on.
Yeah.
Which led to, like, my single greatest amount of money made over one weekend at a con. So, you know, that still has not been beaten. Yeah.
As a performer, you know, nothing really beats, you know, thousands of people, like, giving you a standing ovation and, like, going nuts.
And then the following summer, we went to San Diego Comic-Con
where we got to do it at their masquerade, and while we didn't get the standing ovation, we did get a really positive response.
And then, isn't that the one where you sold the most amount of CDs in the least amount of time ever?
This is like an
hour
about right.
or an hour and a half.
Yeah, we basically only had like 2 hours to sell stuff.
And we were straight working. We weren't doing anything but selling CDs.
Yeah.
Once we got off that stage.
Yeah. You know, I'd like to go back there someday and try to perform again, but I don't know. It's
unlikely that you'd ever get something as awesome as masquerade yeah. time again.
Exactly. It's like I could probably arrange something.
You gotta
that
write
be...
something that you know tops Grease Wars. That's what you gotta do.
See, because the other thing is, there's some people. The way in which you and I performed at San Diego Comic Con, we performed at San Diego Comic Con. We performed as the official, you know, judging time entertainment of the masquerade. You know, it was...
Yeah.
You know, there's other people who have done stuff, you know, about the con or near the con who claim that, like, oh yeah, I performed at San Diego Comic Con, and I'm like, no you haven't, you fucking liar.
Not the way we have.
You know, so... It's like, I know that the feather in my cap is legitimate. I frickin' performed at San Diego Comic Con, and so did Carrie. and special thanks and shout-out to Chris Waffle, who came out and helped us out that weekend, which was quite awesome.
And unlike Nerdapalooza, there was no incident of Joss Whedon trying to get into our show. And
you mean Woodstock.
That's what I meant.
Yeah, Woodstock. That was...
I'm trying so hard not to sound like a dumbass on this show, and when I speak too quickly, I get it wrong. That's the easy. Problem.
They're called Nerdapalooza and Woodstock. It's easy to confuse the two. They're relatively the same idea with the name.
Other than that, I guess a favorite con experience, I would say, rather than a specific moment, but I would say like just the feeling of... especially at MarsCon, the feeling of like being in a gigantic family reunion. Like, it's amazing at MarsCon. Yeah. Like, you know, even last year I showed up, me and Josh showed up on our own. I had about like the shittiest day of all time. I was, you know, I'm not going to go into it, but I was in a really, 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 really pissy, terrible, horrible mood. And, you know, I walk in the doors and there's literally, like, you know, a group of, like, 7 people who are specifically waiting at the doors to specifically say hi to me. And, you know, and it's just, like, it's something that I can't get anywhere else, including an actual family reunion. You know, the feeling of, like, you know, warmth and love and, like, everybody knows each other and likes each other and, like, I'm actually popular and stuff. You know, it's awesome. It's unbeatable. And I'm so looking forward to this next MarsCon. So, what are some of your favorite con moments?
Well, to keep riding on the MarsCon tip, something that I enjoy every year is getting to do the opening ceremony sketch of MarsCon, as I've done every year for the past several years. Originally, it was myself, Earl, and Brian LeBounty writing the sketch every year.
Yes.
Eventually, that changed to just me and Earl writing the sketch every year. But, you know...
And you told me I didn't have to go last year. More and more. Like, I'm like, why wasn't I there, you...
Well, that's the moral of the story. Don't miss the fucking opening ceremonies.
I asked you if it was okay if I missed it, and you're like, sure, no big deal.
Well, yeah, but like... When you ask questions like that, it's often because I have to take medicine or I'll die.
No.
Can I miss this thing? Oh, sure.
I was helping set up the party, the Dementia Radio Room party.
You can watch the sketch online because Jared posted it in 2 parts on YouTube.
Yeah, I suppose I should probably do that at some point. I still haven't watched the 37-minute. Performance at Woodstock that Paul and Storm did of The Captain's Wife's Lament. More recent.
Yeah. We always try to come up with... We try to do sketches that tie in with the theme for that year. The year we did the video game theme and we did the Super Mario Povich show, that was, I thought, a really good one.
And I was in that. I played Miss... Ms. Pac-Man.
Yes.
And I might have done something else, but that's all I remember.
I think you might have been Toad at the very beginning of it or something.
I wasn't Toad.
You were...
I don't remember. And it was definitely Ms. Pac-Man.
Okay. So, and then last... Well,
wouldn't I have had to have had a Toad costume?
No, you had a little cardboard thing you held up of a little guy. Sorry, Mario, the princess is in another castle.
Mm.
I'm pretty sure that was okay. You at the very beginning.
If you say so.
So yeah, and then last year we did a dating game thing, trying to figure out. You know, who we should have on this dating game as the three contestants trying to get, you know, a girl to go on a date with them. And it ended up being Earl as Lex Luthor, Chris Mezzalesta as Sloth from the movie Goonies, and me as Chamberlain from The Dark Crystal. And, you know, making that puppet outfit for Chamberlain was, like, a pretty intense task. And of course it doesn't look like super accurate to the screen version, obviously. It was basically, you know, the head and neck, it was one arm, you know, my other arm was the other arm, and then I had like some nifty sheet patterny thing that Sarah draped over me.
I'm still trying to remember the penis song, I'm sorry.
That's fine. But
I can't remember it.
But it was just kind of like, you know, we... Overall, you know, things seemed to go smooth through rehearsal, but, like, when I finally got to walk out on stage during the sketch as Chamberlain and then go sit down in my seat and just sit there with, like, little, you know, bobbing head of Chamberlain and all that, it's like the crowd reaction was so freaking epic and awesome that, like, yes, this actually worked. I'm pulling this off. So, Earl and I still need to... We've had some phone discussions on what the sketch will be this year. We've had a few ideas. He needed to go check with other folks to see if certain ideas of his would work. So I just need him to get back to me so we can get to work on it. So, you know...
Penis burrito.
Yes, that was a different episode. Anyway, so, okay, we hit all three of those bullet points. Let's go to the next song. And this is a song I first heard on Al TV back in the days, and you can see the video for it on YouTube if you go look for it, but I always liked this tune, and it's a odd rarity of 80s music, and I think this group actually was originally from England, possibly. But anyway, this is Steinsky and Mass Media.
We'll be right back after this word.
It's time to get busy.
Television!
So white. And chocolatey, too.
Television! It's so fresh.
Look at that shine.
Look at that shine.
Look at that shine.
Oh, yes.
Lemon.
Chicken.
Liver.
With fluoride.
Hey, Mom, can I have some more?
We'll be right back.
This word.
We'll be right back.
This word. We'll be right back.
This word.
This word, we'll be right back.
This word,
we'll be right back.
This word.
Bargains, bargains, bargains.
Now, how much would you expect to pay now?
Bargains, bargains, bargains.
Ready? It's all you do.
Not just one. Not just two. More than three. You get four and more.
It's fresh.
You'll pay only $9.99. This offer may never be repeated.
$29.99.
Operators are standing by.
$9.99.
Absolutely free.
Oh, yeah?
We'll be right back.
This word.
We'll be right back.
This word. We'll be right back.
This word.
We'll be right back.
This word.
We'll be right back.
This word.
We'll be right back.
This word.
We'll be right back after this word.
Order, here's all you just called this toll-free number and have your credit card ready. Your size and color preference. Please allow 4 to 6 weeks for delivery. Offer not valid in Kentucky, South Dakota, and Hawaii. Don't forget, with every 7 you order, you get one free.
Iron, niacin,
and riboflavin.
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 Shake.
Get down.
Hamina.
Call before midnight tonight.
Hamina, hamina.
Soft.
Oh, yeah.
And manageable.
Oh, yeah.
Plump.
And.
Tender.
And. Batteries not included.
We'll be right back.
This word.
We'll be right back.
After 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 this word.
Quickly.
What's Luke plugging now?
Yeah. What's at the fump? What's at that fump?
It's a penis and then a toilet lid and it rhymes.
And a burrito. Power salads. My cat is afraid of the vacuum cleaner. Me first and the gimme gimme styles is available. I haven't heard that yet. It was a very good year by Morning Sidekick.
Which, by the way, mentions many of the stories that we've covered in News of the Stupid over the past year are referenced in that
Did
song.
Did you comment to that effect?
Yes.
Sheldon's Delight by the great Luke Ski. Nancy Pelosi, I Wanna Be Your Friend by Raymond and Scum. Sharktopus by Nuclear Bubble Wrap. Tulip and Turtle by TV's Kyle. Resolution by Steve Goody and Half-Assed Rapper by Devo Spice. Yes, the last of the Christmas songs have fallen off.
Yay. Free MP3 of the week over at LukeSki.com is The Spongy Dance. And so if you really like Digital Underground and SpongeBob SquarePants, this is the week for you.
I was just reading on my live journal about the day that you guys... that you debuted that song in Chicago somewhere, and I was in Vegas that weekend.
Mm-hmm.
But I had made a Rice Krispie treat in the shape of SpongeBob SquarePants and had someone to give it to you. And then Ken called while you were performing the song and had me to listen to it over the phone. And then you, like, picked up the phone and talked to me afterwards, which I didn't even know it was you until after you weren't on the phone anymore. Do you remember that?
I remember that.
The SpongeBob Rice Krispie treat.
Yes, I remember that. And it's just so nostalgic to think back about how you used to really like me a lot.
Those were
the days. And now I'm just one of your monkey manservants.
That's okay. I'm a better person for it. Trust me. Let's see. LukeSki.com store. Greatest Hits Volume 1 and What a Ripoff Volume 2 for sale.
Yes, they're back in stock now, finally, so order them. You can have me come draw at a party, except not on February 12th, but any other day you can have me come draw caricatures for you at your party or event. I actually booked two other events earlier today, one for mid-February, one for mid-March, and each of them is like a four-hour gig, so I'm getting like $400. So, yay for me actually making a living at this to some degree.
I can continue
to make a living at it if you hire me. So go to artsbyluksky.com and check it out. Hey, the Dr. Demento show is awesome. You should listen to it and make requests for songs. Songs like You're an Old Lady Who Used to Be Hot by Flat 29, which was played again, if you hadn't noticed.
Yes, I did. I've stopped reading the playlists in advance, and I just download the show and listen to it, and I stream the show, and
yes,
it's kind of better when you don't know what's coming up.
So if you want to make requests for Dr. Demento show, you can go to drdemento.com Yes, drdemento.com, and you can click on the request link. You can also click on the link to listen to shows and pay either $2 or $4 to get the stream, and it's totally worth it, and it's an awesome show.
And I'm not trying to bag on anyone, but I've come to the conclusion that the website's not the most user-friendly website, and it could definitely be improved, but it's worth it to, you know, slog through. You actually have to look for the listen to shows here link. And you'll figure it out. Go do it.
I'm pretty sure it's drdemento.com/online.html, I think.
Yeah.
Something like that. So, tour dates coming up at Capricorn 31, also the weekend of February 10th through 13th, because, you know, everything needs to happen on that weekend. I am performing on Friday night that weekend, the 11th at 9 p.m. I actually have a decent, like, showcase slot there.
Like, how long?
I don't know how long this set is off the top of my head. It's probably at least an hour.
Because, you know, the con is local, and so am I.
Yes.
Just saying.
Okay. Well, come on out, and you can be in my show.
Okay.
And that is, February 10th through 13th, 2011, at the Westin Chicago North Shore in Wheeling, Illinois, which is,
which is a suburb of Chicago.
Yes.
Excellent.
And, Capricorn.org is the website for that. MarsCon 2011. Holy shit, do I even need to talk about MarsCon and how awesome it is? Or do you need me to go on for another 8-minute commercial?
MarsCon's awesome.
Yes. So, please, for the love of God, come to MarsCon, the website for ordering
your... I got chills when I listened to the beginning of your promo.
Yes!
With the I'm Not a Girl music playing in the background, and I was...
That was like my get psyched music. I'm like, I want people to get psyched for MarsCon listening
that
to this.
That did it. I was in a shitty mood, and as I have been most of the time lately, and then I actually smiled for the first time that day. It was awesome.
I just liked me putting together all of the various clips of sound checks and technical difficulties.
Yeah, that was awesome, too.
It's Earl. I've been shot! Stop shooting me! So, MarsCon.org. You have until January 31st to... What are you doing? Shoebox makes awesome music.
That song's underrated.
Shoebox, is he of the group Worm Quartet?
Yes, he is.
The music guest of honor of MarsCon 2011?
And I hope he does I'm Not a Girl. That song's underrated. Well, it should have been like number one on Dr. D.
If you email him, I'm sure he'll perform it during the show.
Maybe I'll request it for Dr. D. He should play it.
Yes.
Because it's awesome.
Yes. It did end up on one of Dr. D's basement tapes.
Did it?
Yes.
Cool.
So Dr. D did like that song and give it some airplay. MarsCon.org. If you want to register for MarsCon, you have until the 31st to do it for $45. After that, you have to buy it at the door for $60. I may have one slot left for Table 27. If somebody wants it, get a hold of me right away. And if you're lucky, it might still be available by the time you hear this. MarsConDementia.com is the website for all of the information on the comedy music track, and also where you can get the fundraiser album. Yes, the fundraiser album. You can get the MP3 version for only $10. That's $10 less than we had at the previous years. So you can get that. Also, you can get the CD version. For those of you who are old media fans like me who like to collect physical albums, for $30, you can get the 3-CD version.
Is there any actual art that goes along with it? No.
No, just the on-CD printing. If I had the time to make nifty artwork, I would.
Okay.
In fact, I always thought that would be cool if I could either do it myself or coordinate others to create artwork for all the previous albums that people could just like download and print up themselves or something. So, I mean, I don't know.
You just have to put the group picture of everyone on the cover of each one. The group picture from that year.
Or the t-shirt design for each year.
Yeah.
So,
I'm hoping to hear more from Bill soon on the schedule. Bill schedules everything else that's not the, like, things.
There's a few things I need to add to the schedule, one of which is there's the showing of MST 11 Fantastic Four, Roger Corman version, Saturday morning at 10 a.m. with a Q&A by Carrie and I to follow. There's also going to be Dementia SmackDown Wrestling. If I can get a hold of Earl to confirm this, we'll be doing it Saturday night, either at like 1 a.m. or 1:30 a.m. after the party bus stuff is over with.
But, part of the reason I say that is because now that I have the insulin pump and the continuous glucose monitor, like, me going swimming is a big ordeal. So I'm hoping to know exactly when the swimming is going to be so that I can try to plan around it. Just because I know Bill's listening.
Yeah. And we'll be talking more about Bill in a little bit. Bill. So, Bill. Bill. Preston Bill. I really enjoyed their recent episode of Pot of Destiny. I really dug it.
I actually just started that one. I've only heard the first 30 minutes or so far.
The episode I'm referring to is the one they filmed driving back from my wedding. I haven't listened to the Con of the Cob one yet.
I listened to that one. I enjoy all episodes of one of the reasons I particularly enjoyed that one is because the sound was a lot better and cleaner and easier to understand. Mm. But I always enjoy the Pot of Destiny because I enjoy Bill and Moonbeam. So they can pretty much be talking about anything, and I just enjoy listening to them.
That whole Mad Libs thing they did was awesome.
Yeah.
But I wanted to just finish wrapping up the whole MarsCon plug. If you're not attending MarsCon, you can get the MP3 album for $10. You can get the CD version for $30, which also gets you the MP3 album, so you can listen to it right away. If you are attending MarsCon, you can also purchase tickets for Party Rob's Party Bus at MarsConDementia.com. There's four different rides, one of which, the first one actually, will be called Luke and Carrie's Bus Rapport. So it'll be Carrie and I doing a concert on the bus. That's the first ride. And then there's three other rides, the last of which has Rob Balder himself. You can go to the Party Rob Party Bus page at MarsCon Dementia to figure out which rides are which. But the point is, you can buy your tickets for the Party Bus or tickets or passes for the Party Bus along with getting the CDs or MP3s as part of the fundraiser.
MarsCon.
Okay.
We need to move it along.
So what shade of pink are you wearing, Carrie?
A shirt that says popular on it because I got it at Wicked, and it's a shade of like rose and kind of orangey pink and light pink, lots of different pinks on a white background.
Cool. Well, it's comments time.
Okay. This is from comment from episode number 22. Nona Mills says, I was not initially impressed by what I heard from Flat 29 as music and their overall show was concerned. After hearing Bill and Luke play their music, I decided to give them another chance and really enjoyed their last podcast and will be getting their music. While driving to the theater, Luke's talk about sneaking food into them was playing. Not having a taste for candy and not liking nachos, I decided to sneak a bag of Chex Mix and had no problem. At the end of the Behind the Laughter episode, they stated the Simpsons are from Kentucky. There is a city called Simpsonville in Kentucky, which is located next to Shelbyville in Shelbyville County.
So. Yes, I remember that episode. And I'm glad that you like Flat 29. So, yeah, that comment was made sometime recently, and I kept forgetting to include it. So, thank you, Nona. Arkel says... By the way,
I wanted to mention on the... I'm hoping someday we can get these on people's iPods when we figure out how, but the image for the last episode, the Cuddle Vortex, made me LOL, R-O-F-L-M-A-O. It was hilarious. It was taken from my camera, but Luke added a little something to it, so.
Yes. So, Arkel says, Luke, I got the name for your actor super team, the League of That Guys. As in, for most people, the reaction to an appearance in a film by them is, hey, it's that guy. And if that idea is stupid, in my defense, it's 3:39 a.m. in the morning as I write this. Oh, by the gods, did I just actually write 3:39 a.m. in the morning? Huh, well, I'm nothing if not redundant. I also repeat myself.
I actually like that idea. Hey, the League of That Guys. Or the League of Hey That Guys, possibly. Jared Ringgold says... Luke, Boomin' Granny was originally released on the Jimmy James CD single back in 1992. If you didn't buy Beastie Boys singles, I'm not surprised you missed the song.
Well, yeah, I was very much a person who bought the full albums and wasn't paying close attention to what was on every single that came out. So, but thank you for that tip. It's good to know. So I put in a comment myself just because I wanted to specify. Hank Azaria voices on The Simpsons include Apu Nahasapima Petalon, Mo Sislak. What?
I've never heard his last name.
Yeah. You haven't heard 88 lines about 44 Simpsons?
Yeah, I don't remember you saying the
Quickie
whole...
Marts run by Apu, Nahasa Pima Petalon.
Well, I didn't know that was an actual... I never knew what that lyric was. I actually thought it was just actual words that I couldn't understand.
Yeah, his last name is Nahasa Pima Petalon. Hence the cleverness of me rhyming it in a song.
Okay. Well, I didn't know that. Sorry.
And if you'd like to see more Lukeski song lyrics, go to lukeski.com and click on the lyric archive.
Or you can request song origins so we can talk more about our songs.
Yes. Hank Azaria, Apu, Mo Sislak, Chief Clancy Wiggum, Comic Book Guy, Lou, Carl, Dr. Nick Riviera, Snake, Kirk Van Houten, Captain McAllister, Bumblebee Man, Superintendent Chalmers, Professor Frank Cletus, and Dredrick Tatum. Amongst many others.
Crazy St. Louis Fangirl says, Steve Buscemi is my favorite of that guy's. Nice name, Arkel. I fell in love with him in Con Air. Define irony. A bunch of idiots dancing on a plane to a song made famous by a band that died in a plane crash. I also love the Ted/Sam Raimi stuff. My favorite Raimi movie is Lunatics, A Love Story, and my favorite of his series is Sequest. Eric Avari is another for that list.
I think Eric Avari either was at MarsCon or was supposed to be at MarsCon, but then had to cancel or something. So, anyway. Blasted Bill. It's Blasted Bill! Says, I will totally pay for a background track as long as it's the freaking Red Dwarf song. Been waiting 14 years for that damn song that should have been on Fanboys in the Hood or Shadows of the Bunghole. Look, I got the titles right.
Yes, he did.
Yes, you did get the titles right, Bill. Congratulations on that. However, for you to say that a Red Dwarf song should have been on Fanboys in the Hood or Shadows of the Bunghole is a bit erroneous because at that point in my life, I hadn't even heard of it. Or if I had heard of it at all, it was only something I was vaguely maybe aware of as, oh, that's a thing from somewhere else, and yeah. So, I didn't really become... It wasn't until Carrie started showing me the show. What year did we start watching Red Dwarf?
06, I'm 06? Guessing.
Okay, so yeah. So only, only within the past 5 or so years... have we gotten to the point where it's like, Luke should have had a song about Red Dwarf on, you know, Big Conspiracy or Target Audience or,
Did Fanboys in the Hood come out?
1997, that was my first album. Actually, no, 96. It was
So that's 15 years ago.
Yeah.
So that would have been 10 years too early.
Yeah. And to answer your question, yes, I have actually been talking with the guys from Raymond and Scum about me bartering for some artwork with them to get Raymond and Scum to do the background music of a Red Dwarf song for me. I fully intend to have this song on my next album, which is coming out in August. I was considering making it a Fump track, but I found out the new series of Red Dwarf isn't coming out till 2012, so I don't know if I'll put it on the Fump or not. Maybe it'll be an album-only cut, or maybe I'll wait until the series comes out in 2012 and then put it on the Fump then.
Yeah.
So we'll wait and find out. So thank you very much, Blasted Bill Putt of Dementia Radio. And yes, I'm working on the t-shirt design for this year, so to speak. So I'll get that designed to you quickly, as quickly as I can get it done so that we can get it up and get it for sale so people can buy it before the con. Anyway.
Are we having another buffet thingy on Friday and Saturday?
I don't know.
Well,
I'll have to ask Sarah. She was the one that put that together.
Elizabeth says, so here's an idea for content. What is your favorite con moment? Could be either running or attending. So, done.
Well, we could make that a recurring thing. If we're ever at a loss for things to talk about, we could just say, what's some more of our favorite moments from cons? And bring that back in future episodes.
Okay.
Bar One Scorpio says, haven't listened yet, but just realized listening to The Geeks Come Out at Night again recently. The next time Room 1327 gets referenced in a Fump song, Luke needs to chant, I'm a married spud, I'm a married spud, a Toy Story 2 reference.
I don't remember.
It's, yeah. It's what that Mr. Potato Head says when they go down the aisle with all the Barbie dolls.
Oh.
So, so this was an email from Slightly D, but he said we could read it.
Oh,
so.
Okay. Slightly D says, hi, Luke and Carrie. I have a topic idea / plea for help for your next episode. My brother-in-law and I are both fanboys and geeks, and we both became parents to daughters in 2010. Both of us seem to be intent on keeping them in fanboy geek culture, at least until they are old enough to rebel on or our wives shut us down. My dilemma is I'm feeling competitive about this and would like to outdo him. Okay, crush him. His daughter was born several months before mine was, and he has had the opportunity to put my niece into a couple of geek fanboy costumes already. For example, for Halloween, my brother-in-law dressed my niece as Princess Leia from A New Hope, and of course she has some Star Trek onesies as well. Here's my plea for help from you, any guests on the podcast, and the wider community. I'm looking for some costume ideas for an upcoming con, and of course Halloween too, that are appropriate for a girl and I can make modest enough for an infant, but still instantly recognizable. Slave Leia and Avatar are right out. I'm willing to put some work into this, building props and sewing if necessary, so it doesn't have to be something that is ready-made. This reminds me of Moonbeam's costume, Red Dwarf costume for Ferris.
Yeah.
I can't remember what Rimmer's called when he's wearing that particular red and white gingham dress, but he also has, it was missing a Mr. Flibble. Which I have.
It would be funny if Moonbeam dressed in the red and white dress outfit and then made a little penguin outfit.
Oh my god! That would be awesome. That would be even more awesome.
So, but off the top of my head, if you could get like some nifty little like the foam stuff you can get at like Hobby Lobby that you know it's just like in sheets. If you can make kind of a pointy headed thing, you could dress her as Maggie Simpson, which would be cute. Even though this isn't necessarily a girl thing, it would certainly be cute. How about the green dog outfit of Gurr from Invader Zim with the little pullover hoodie that makes it makes you know Gurr look like
a
dog
in
disguise. Think
he wants us to think bigger. Like more famous.
Well, for fanboys though, they would all know who Gurr is.
Yeah,
they think that was cute.
It's something I would have to think about because I only just now read this. So
yeah, Jack from The Incredibles is a boy, so that wouldn't quite work. I don't know. I guess it doesn't necessarily have to be baby characters, but I'm a.
No, yeah, definitely. I think outside of the box on that. I'm thinking any, I don't know, any animal character or, you know, Chewbacca's a little, would be adorable, but maybe wouldn't really work. Oh my god, R2-D2, that would be awesome. I don't think it would be comfortable for the baby, though.
Salacious Crumb. But only if the person carrying the kid around was dressed as Jabba the Hutt. So
I don't know. You got to think outside of the box. Remember, there's you know animals. It doesn't have to be a baby or a you know a woman. You know, it could be an animal or like an object or something from geek culture that people would recognize. I'll have to think about it, and I probably won't because I'll forget.
About a USB drive.
Okay. I don't know, but hopefully we'll get some good suggestions to read on episode 34.
So yes, if you have suggestions for awesome fanish costumes for a baby girl to wear, leave a comment at badrapport@gmail.com. Oh, we have a new iTunes review.
Yay!
We have a voicemail. Let's do that first.
Okay.
I'll have to change the do that. And now here is a voicemail.
Uh-oh.
There it is.
Not the Nando's website.
There you go. Hey, Luke and Terry. Great show as usual for episode 35. Luke, have you ever thought about getting the Woody Woodpecker collection, especially Volume 2, since it actually has what the creator of Woody Woodpecker actually showing from start to finish how animation is done, from the sketchwork through timing, animation taping all the way up to the final product. Also, are you going to be making a new version of the Ballad of Optimus Prime after the third Transformers movie is out?
No.
Have fun, and I'll send a message through the Flumpcast too. And don't forget, everybody, order from Luke the CD for MarsCon 2011. Later.
Thanks, Draconis.
Thank you. I had not heard about that Woody Woodpecker DVD. If I happen to come across it, I'll consider getting it. When I was a little kid, Woody Woodpecker, I went through phases with cartoon characters. Like for several months, I'd be really into one character, and then I'd switch to a different character. I really liked Popeye a lot for a while. Yeah. Basically, each year you could tell what character I was into that year by what I dressed as for Halloween.
Yeah.
Because I was Popeye 1 year for Halloween, and then I was also Woody Woodpecker for Halloween 1 year. And my mom actually made a really cool Woody Woodpecker mask because, you know, my mom's awesome like that, and she didn't want to just go with, like, some cheesy flat, you know, store-bought, you know, mask in a box or something like that.
Yeah.
So she actually made, like, one that had a beak that, like, curved out and stuff like that.
Cool.
So it was cool. So, yes, thank you, Draconis. And now, iTunes review.
Yay!
LoopyBob02 says, I've listened to every episode and keep enjoying them. I especially enjoy the many recurring segments with their accompanying jingles. Also a big fan of their music. I hope this comment gets read on the show. Beginning or end will do. By the way, my other alias is Big and Tasty, as heard from the Farpoint Media show Wingin' It, in case you remember me.
5 stars.
5 stars.
Yay!
Sadly, I don't remember you, but that's because my mind is an Etch-a-Sketch between conventions and drawing people's faces for a living. I have a very, you know...
Yeah.
Yeah.
And this happens to me at conventions, and I'm sure it happens to Luke 3 times as much, but people will come up to me and say hi, and they'll be like, hey, how's it going? Oh, it's so good to see you. Hug, you know, and I won't know who in the hell they are. Maybe I'll recognize their face. Maybe I won't. I definitely don't know their name. And I'm sure this happens to you a lot more than it happens to me. So,
well, I have, it's
not meant to be it's not an offense. We just don't have very good memories.
Sometimes I see people and I know who they are because they're the person I'd see at that specific con every year, but I don't know their name or I can't remember their name. It's just like, oh, hey, it's that guy who I see at this con every year.
Yeah.
He's a cool dude. You know, and I feel bad about that, but...
Speaking of things relating to that, I know a lot of the listeners to the podcast have friend requested me on Facebook, and some of you I've added and some of you I haven't, and it's been almost completely random. In the future, if you're a listener and you're not really a friend of mine, but you want to friend request me, make sure to put something about that in the message, as most people don't, and that way I'll know, oh, this is a fan that I should, you know, respect and add them back. So I've just kind of got this queue of people whom I don't know that I haven't rejected yet. They just haven't been accepted yet.
Yeah, I'm kind of the same way because, you know, back in the first...
You're more strict on your Facebook, though, about these have to be my friends.
Well, it's more like back when other various forms of social networking began, like MySpace or whatever, it's like everyone was like, oh, you have to accept everyone if you're trying to make a name for yourself in, you know,
in
MySpace,
media. Yeah, on MySpace, I've accepted every request ever.
So, yeah, so basically I was accepting everyone all the time, but then when Facebook started, I'm like, okay, Facebook is going to be the one thing where I only add people on if I really know in my brain who they are immediately, and, you know, now suddenly MySpace is dead, Facebook is the main thing, you know, and Twitter is, well, I don't know, Twitter's a different kind of animal, so to speak, but now it's like there's 200 people in my friend request thing. And I, you know, every so often I go through them and just kind of rack my own brain, like, do I know any of these people?
Yeah.
You know, can I remember? And, you know.
They must not ever disappear if you've got 200 of them.
Something like that. I just.
Wow.
So, you know, if you've asked me to be your friend on Facebook and I haven't done it back yet, I hope that you don't think I'm a huge jerk. It's just that I'm trying to keep it to just the people that I'm, you know, familiar with enough that I don't have to rack my brain to remember who everyone is. But I did start the Great Luke Ski, you know, fan page on Facebook so that, you know, there could be, you know, a place for people to go. And there's like 500 or 600 people on that as opposed to the, you know, 100 or 200 people, wow, that I'm following on Facebook or something.
I can't even get 100, so I can't get a Vanity Earl.
Well, Bad Rapport doesn't have 100 either.
I know.
Because
Pot of Destiny does, though.
You know, It's because people don't love us.
No.
Actually, it's because only 50 people love us. That's why.
50-ish.
Only 50-ish people love us, and we can't get any more than that, and that's why we'll never have a vanity URL at Facebook. And on that happy note, let's end the show! So, we're going to go out with a song that my mom used to play around the house, because she listened to kind of hippie music when I was a kid, and she played a lot of Peter, Paul, and Mary, and this song was from one of their albums, and I always really liked it because it had a very Spike Jonze silly quality to it, and it just always stuck in my head. So I decided I'll play that song on our podcast just because I think it's cool.
Onky donkey.
Okay. So, anything else to say, Carrie Dalby?
No, Luke Sikowski.
All right. Well, this has been Luke and Carrie's Bad Rapport.
I was Carrie.
And I was Luke.
And join us in 2 weeks for episode 34. Yay.
When Carrie will remember that rhyme about penises.
I hope so.
You're not Miss Wrangle or Miss Clear or an ad for Learn to Draw. And you don't have the prettiest pair of legs I ever saw. But cellophane don't move me and can't turn my life around. You're the nicest piece of heart and soul that I have ever found. I've ever found. You're not a pharaoh or a jacket or a raccoon cat. In 20 generations of girls have tried to look like that. But class like yours ain't on the screen, and it's finally made me think. You can lead this horse to a Hollywood, but you cannot make me drink.
Can't make him drink.
Can't make him drink. I love you, honey. You're the one for me. And it comes naturally. Cause I don't want an image. I don't want a movie star. I just want you, baby, the way you are.
You, I don't fill out the old bikini. Like a Playboy bunny doll. In fact, in that department, you got little there at all.
But in modern times, we've gone beyond Tarzan and Jane.
Well, some just use their bodies.
Others use their brains, darling. Remember, brains.
A Bogart called them baby, Sinatra called them
ding,
and the Bogey calls them
ladies.
Norman Mailer calls us names,
but I don't need a label to know what you mean to me. So I'll just make it simple
and call you frequently.
I'll call you frequently.
listening to Luke and Carrie's Bad Rapport.
Okay, buddy, what do you think of Wilkins coffee?
I never tasted it.
Now, what do you think of Wilkins?
Leave comments for this episode at badrapport.com or call 916-LUKE-SKI.